Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Think 10 podcast brought to you by Co-op Financial Services. I'm Bill Pritchard, Public Relations Manager for Co-op. Today, we're going to talk with some of our speakers for the conference, which will be held April 18th through the 21st at the Fairmont Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. Attending Think will inspire and energize you to see the credit union movement in a whole new way. Think is the only conference for credit unions that brings you top-level strategic advice from world-class thought leaders from a variety of fields so that you can move your credit union aggressively into the future. This year's conference and the people we'll be talking with today are no exception. We hope you enjoy this dialogue with our speakers, and most of all, we look forward to seeing them at Think 10. So, on to our first speaker. Tim Sanders is on a mission to get business people excited about participating in social responsibility, sustainability, and employee development projects. He's the author of Saving the World at Work, What Companies and Individuals Can Do to Go Beyond Making a Profit to Making a Difference. His first book, Love is the Killer App, was a New York Times bestseller and explored the power of business relationships and how to build them. Formerly Chief Solutions Officer for Yahoo Incorporated, he is currently advising business and public sector leaders on next-generation strategies. Welcome, Tim.
Nice to be with you.
Thank you for joining us. Tim, let's start with that mission statement, and I'd like to hone in on one aspect of it in particular. What are employee development projects, and why are they important?
So, employee development projects are projects that attempt to grow the employee, either intellectually, emotionally, or even in some cases, spiritually. The idea is we need to develop every person that goes to work for our company to be more competent at their job, more confident in their capabilities, and more complete as a person. These are important for a lot of reasons, but especially for credit unions, there's a few. Number one, you are only as strong as your people. If we commit ourselves to making our people stronger, the whole ecosystem improves, and the customer, the member, completely feels it, not just from customer service, but engagement, innovation, and all kinds of things. The second reason is, if we commit ourselves to employee development, the employees go out into the world and become brand ambassadors. They improve our employership brand. What kind of company are we to work for? And that's going to be very important in the future during the war for talent, as the talent pool for skilled managers, financial advisors, technologists shrinks, and a lot of them begin to look at companies that are going to make a difference in their life and not just send them home with a paycheck.
Very good. Let me ask you about some of your books, Saving the World at Work in particular. In there you write, I want to recruit you and train you for the responsibility revolution. Credit unions make an ongoing effort to foster healthy financial practices as well as build money management skills among their members. What is the responsibility revolution, and what role is there for credit unions within it?
So the responsibility revolution is a very broad-based change of values in the United States where consumers are starting to purchase a story about the company that stands behind services that they use or products that they buy. That's why you've seen a lot of people talk about we're involved with local community, sort of like you've seen with the variety of different credit unions and banks over the course of time. You hear a lot of people talk about we're going green. What they're doing is they're resonating or attempting to resonate with the new need of consumers today, and that's to make a difference with where they spend their money and how they invest their money. With respect to credit unions, there's a couple of places, but I think the most important place they can play is in being a partner to local communities. I believe that across the United States today, credit unions stand as a hub where they can not only foster small business relationships through networking, they can also foster community strength by finding that synergy point where the credit union's assets and talents and strengths line up against some great community need. Just to illustrate this, in another different industry altogether, I was talking about finding that synergy point, you know, and that's where you can improve your brand promise. It's where you can create purpose at work. And one of the folks in my audience Brian Sperber, ran the Phoenix International Raceway. That's the NASCAR facility in Phoenix. So he took this to heart, and he went home and said, what's a big problem, or what are the big problems in our community, and are any of them addressable with my assets or skill set? One of the problems he quickly identified was that the leading cause of death for teenagers in the state of Arizona, car accidents. He also found out in a few clicks a reason why. Driver's education had been privatized, meaning a significant portion of the population never gets driver's education before they get their driver's license. You can imagine the results. He immediately recognized there was a synergy point. In other words, at the raceway, every single weekend, he sees highly telegenic, very good defensive drivers, you know, NASCAR professionals, and he has relationships with them. He's got a video crew that runs the Jumbotron. He's also got an internet wizard kid that works for him that would totally be able to take the drivers, the video capability, and create a free defensive driving program. He partnered with Arizona State University about a year later, and they released it free to the entire state, helping to address that problem. And here's the punchline. He said that within a month, he began to see new people showing up at the track that before the defensive driving program was released online had never even heard of NASCAR racing in Phoenix. And here's what he said to me. I learned a lesson about business and community. If they do well, we do well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Your books abound with interesting turns of phrases. You mentioned going green, and your books certainly contain their own catchphrases, one of which is a saver soldier. Tell me, what is a saver soldier?
A saver soldier is a person that takes their values to work. In other words, they believe that they're going to make their mark on the world with their work life as much as their personal life or their social life. They have an intense desire to make a difference in the lives of people they do business with, whether it's local community members or, for those that have gone green, so to speak, future generations. And they are very, very into influencing other people at work. They try to connect it to the business, and whenever possible, they try to start a movement. I'll give you an example from the world of banking. It's not from the world of credit union banking, but I think it's an interesting story out of Canada. CIBC, one of the banking institutions there, they had a huge movement that started in the Saskatchewan branch with bank tellers. And it was a small group of bank tellers, saber soldiers, that wanted to leverage the brand and their interaction with customers to help raise money for breast cancer research. So they signed up for something called Race for the Cure. It happens every fall. They got permission from the bank to use some bank resources to make posters to promote it and even wear their pink Run for the Cure shirts to work. It created a lot of excitement amongst the tellers. It spread to other branches, eventually to Toronto, and a new president came in back in 2001, and he immediately noticed that the Run for the Cure was a rally point for the tellers, and he had human resources research it, and sure enough, it was one of their number one pride elements, and it was a great retention tool. He had the ad agency look into it and found out that over the course of a few years, their sponsorship of Run for the Cure, which had now grown to tens of millions of dollars, was one of the number one drivers of loyalty on a local basis in the cities they had the greatest footprint. And again, what this really underscores is that people at work can create an example that either improves the talent experience or, in this case, the member loyalty. And whenever executives can notice that, grow that inside an organization and take advantage of it, that's when goodness happens.
Very good. I wanted to maybe revisit something that we were talking about just a moment ago, and that is the credit union movement is based on uplifting the financial conditions of their community members. So the ideal of changing the world for the better is an abiding principle of credit unions. You talked a little bit about the credit unions reaching out to the needs of the communities and being charitably active. What additional practical ways can credit unions implement your recommendations?
It's really about innovation. So, you know, do it in a way that's connected with your business and reflects your values. So as credit unions spring up to improve, you know, the financial lives of its members, there's a lot of different ways to do it. And the way to think about this is to use financial services as a platform to change the world. It's a conversation starter. In other words, it's not just the advice we give or the banking services we provide. It's about simple things like, are we networking people together around town because they should meet, where we can create business opportunities? I think that credit union leaders are in the perfect pivot point in their community to introduce people that should meet. At the conference, I'm going to tell the story of Elmer Letterman, who is considered the greatest networker in the history of life insurance. Every Friday for a decade during the Depression, Letterman went out of his way to introduce three current or prospective customers that should meet, whether it's the chef who wants to build a restaurant, the banker who wants to fund great entrepreneurship ideas, and the construction executive that's got a great reputation. He put people together for a decade that needed to meet, that he used the platform of life insurance as an excuse, and he created his own ecosystem of business, and he became one of the most successful life insurance salespeople in New York history. That's a classic example of where we can even go beyond the service to grow people either with who they know or what they know.
Thank you. And let me ask you about your previous book, Love is the Killer App. It's certainly a unique title for a business book. I think most of us view love as a word that applies to family or outside of work social relations. How does love work with biz partners?
So what I mean by this is growing people is the breakthrough strategy for being successful. When you promote people's growth, whether it's the member, whether it's other people that work at the credit union, or even people in your community, they reciprocate. You know, sociologists call it the law of reciprocity. It's probably the best bet in the world of psychology. About 9 times out of 10, people respond to things you do to them, good or bad, and they reciprocate either directly to you or forward. When you commit yourself to say, the number one thing I do is I grow everything in my path, whether it's people, communities, whatever, when you commit yourself to that, you begin to get in a positive feedback loop. Membership loyalty ensues. Talent loyalty, engagement, innovation ensues. And community goodwill ensues. And good things happen. So for me, love in our personal life is this selfless promotion of the other, right? I selflessly promote my wife or my children's happiness or physical health, etc., and I do it at great sacrifice. At work, things are a little different. At work, we have a social contract, right? I mean, our job is to keep the organization healthy for everyone else. So at work, I believe, when it comes to our business partners, being compassionate and caring means that you are sensibly sharing your intangibles, your knowledge, your network of relationships, and that human side to promote the growth of the other. And when you do that, it drives business success.
Excellent. And speaking of interesting turns of phrases, is what you've just described, is that the definition of a love cat?
Yeah. So I've met these folks in business. A love cat is a person who is tough but fair and always seems committed to helping people. You scratch your head and say, that person is tough-minded and such. You know, they run business on the numbers. But they find ways to be generous with other people. And I don't mean financially generous. I mean emotionally generous, intellectually generous, relationally generous. These people seem to find success even during the toughest times. And the reason why, we always notice, is that they keep getting all these windfalls. These things keep falling into their life. We call them lucky. I call them very tuned into the power of great relationships.
Excellent. And what additional practical ways can you tell us can be employed to introduce love at the credit union branch nearest you?
I think number one is we've got to be more proactive about mentorships. We've got to say that when we bring people into the credit union, we're going to make them a lot smarter in a year than they were last year. We're going to improve their personal resume. And hopefully, if we're doing a great job, we're going to end up challenging ourselves to keep up with our charges. So mentorship, big idea. The second idea is to think a little bit about changing the conversation at work from losing to winning. One of the most important things we can do to improve relationships is to restore that feeling of momentum, that things are going to turn out right. And we've got to create, I don't think so much optimism as confidence. And I believe that credit unions can take charge of reestablishing business confidence, not waiting for either politics or the broad market to support that idea. When you look at the Great Depression, the 80-81 Depression, the 90-91 Depression, even .com, and you look at the companies, we call them Phoenix companies, that rose up from the ashes, stronger for the opportunity, they all share one thing in common. Their leadership promoted that winning feeling even during the darkest days. And I think that part of our job in leadership is to get back to that. Here's the last idea. We've got to show people more empathy. We've got to understand that feelings are facts, whether it's a member's feelings or an employee's feelings. And we've got to get out of this fixing feelings mode and become deeper listeners and begin to customize the member experience or the employee experience based on being emotionally positive, because human beings are incredibly emotional creatures. And if we don't create a strong emotional value proposition, we'll find out that our business is shrinking even though we're winning on the numbers.
And your speech is entitled Harnessing the Power of Great Relationships. Credit unions pride themselves on great service, great relationships with their members, but there has been quite a bit of discussion within the industry that we haven't really taken full advantage of this goodwill, particularly in the current economic environment with banks in such bad repute. How can we do better in harnessing the power of great relationships?
I think if we listen deeper and we create a richer conversation with the members where they can tell us how they want us to do business with them, we'll earn the right to help them understand the difference between a credit union and a big bank in the current discussion. There's a tremendous opportunity to leverage goodwill and create a fierce sense of loyalty where members wouldn't do business with anybody but a credit union. But to make that argument, we've got to make a contribution first. And I think the big contribution is to let people know we're listening, we're customizing, we're personalizing. We're doing everything we can to improve the member experience. And that's what I really want to underscore. Relationships are not about transactions. A relationship is a series of transactions that takes on emotional attachment, whether it's love or hate. And you've had relationships with banks, you've had relationships with cars, you've had relationships with service providers, and you know what I mean. At some point, it's not just a transaction. There are feelings involved. And what changes it is the experience, the emotional experience the member has in doing business with the credit union. That lies at the heart of creating great relationships. So we have to measure different things. We have to segment the member experience. In other words, we have to begin to think about all the little experiences a member has when they do business with a credit union, just like Starbucks did years ago, just like the Ritz-Carlton does today, and to start improving these little experiences, the depositing experience, the being greeted at the credit union experience, the checking my balance experience, and we've got to leverage technology to make it better and better along the way.
Thank you, Tim. You have been listening to Tim Sanders, who once again will be speaking on Harnessing the Power of Great Relationships at Think 10 this coming April. With us on the line now is Stan Holland, President, CEO of Co-op Financial Services. Welcome, Stan.
Thank you.
Okay, well, great to have you with us. This is the third year we have conducted our Think Conference. Why is Co-op Financial Services organizing this event?
Well, we really set out 3 years, 4 years ago in looking at the content of our annual conference and looking at the needs of our credit union membership and trying to identify what would really appeal to them in a broader sense than just payments and an update on electronic payments. So we put in place a format with leading speakers and a broad spectrum of business and society. And we just had phenomenal success in doing so. And then we do breakout sessions and specific drill down sessions for electronic payments and shared branching and other specific products offered by Co-op Financial Services. So that's why we set it in place, is to really raise the bar and create the premier conference in the credit union industry.
Very good. And with all of those elements in place, how do you think our colleagues in the credit union movement will benefit by attending this conference?
Benefit for attendees is several benefits. The executive level of the credit unions that are participating will benefit from, you know, exposure to first-rate business speakers from, again, a broad spectrum of business and, in some cases, economics, life in general, famous authors. And so we expand their horizon and let them think outside the box. This is not a typical credit union conference. And then others who want to specifically focus on areas of co-op products and services or trends within the payments industry, we have those speakers too. The general sessions are shared by all attendees, and that's the focus of engaging, thought-provoking, and leading speakers who can really provide a challenge and open up the vistas for all of our attendees, be they from the payment side of a credit union, from the credit side, from marketing, or executive management.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year we waived the registration fee for credit unions, and we're doing so again this year. Why is Co-op Financial Services offering this event to our colleagues at no charge?
Well, twofold reason. This was prompted by the current economic condition facing many of our credit unions, in that they are struggling for earnings. It's ROA, or return on assets, is down in the industry across the board, and we see a number of credit unions that are restricting, they're reducing their travel budgets and looking at the best way to get value for the dollar expended in travel and attending conferences. And recognizing that, we also, the second big reason is we are a cooperative. And as a cooperative, we return all of our earnings to our credit union owners. This is another way of returning value to them, in addition to the primary method of patronage dividends based on the revenue they generate. This is another piece of that. So we're adding value in not charging our credit unions to attend the conference. I think it's absolutely the right thing to do. We very much like it. And to the extent we can, we intend to continue the practice.
Well, outstanding. Is there anything you'd like to add as we head into Think 10 coming up in April?
Well, I would encourage anybody to put this on their agenda and absolutely attend. No fee to attend. And it is in a really good location, Phoenix, very easy to get to. It's one of the premier events, I would say, and the feedback has just been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Testimonial and feedback from attendees has been just outstanding. So I think we're on the right track, and I really would encourage credit union people, credit union management, to attend this conference and look forward to another successful year.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Stan. Once again, we look forward to seeing all of you at Think 10.